Spud Trevor of the Red Hussars. By Cyril McNeil, writing as Sapper. It would be but a small exaggeration to say that in every godforsaken hole and corner of the world where soldiers lived and moved and had their being before Nemesis overtook Europe, the name of Spud Trevor of the Red Hussars was known. From Simla to Singapore, from Khartoum to Kura, his name was symbolical of all that a regimental officer should be. Senior subalterns guiding the erring feet of the young and frivolous from the tempting paths of nightclubs and fair ladies to the infinitely better ones of hunting and sport were apt to quote him. Adjutants had been known to hold him up as an example to those of their flock who needed chastening for any of the 101 things that adjutants do not like, if they have their regiment at heart. And he deserved it all. I, who knew him as well perhaps as anyone, I who was privileged to call him friend, and yet in the hour of his greatest need failed him, I, to whose lot it was fallen to remove the slur from his name, state this in no half-hearted way. He deserved it, and 1,000 times as much again. He was the type of man beside whom the ordinary English gentleman, the so-called white man, looked dirty grey in comparison. And yet there came a day when men who had openly fawned on him left the room when he came in, when whispers of an unsuspected yellow streak in him began to circulate, when senior subalterns no longer held him up as a model. Now he is dead. And it has been left to me to vindicate him. Perchance, by so doing, I will wipe out a little of the stain of guilt that lies so heavy on my heart. Perchance I may atone, in some small degree, for my doubts and suspicions, and perchance, too, the whitest man that ever lived may, of his understanding and knowledge, perfected now in the great silence to which he is gone, accept my tardy reparation, and forgive. It is only yesterday that the document, which, explaining everything, came into my hands. It was sent to me sealed, and with it a short covering letter from a firm of solicitors stating that their client was dead, killed in France, and that according to his instructions they were forwarding the enclosed, with the request that I should make such use of it as I saw fit. To all those others who, like myself, doubted, I address these words. Many have gone under. To them I venture to think everything is now clear. Maybe they have already met Spud in the great vast gulfs where the mists of illusion are rolled away. For those who still live, he has no abuse. That incomparable sportsman and sahib. No recriminations for us who ruined his life. He goes farther and finds excuses for us. God knows we need them. Here is what he has written. The document is reported exactly as I received it, saving only that I have altered all names. The man, whom I have called Ginger Bathurst, and everyone else concerned, will, I think, recognize themselves. And pour les autres. Let them guess. In 2 days, old friend, my battalion sails for France, and now, with the intention full formed and fixed in my mind that I shall not return, I have determined to put down on paper the true facts of what happened 3 years ago. Or rather, the true motives that impelled me to do what I did. I put it that way because you already know the facts. You know that I was accused of saving my life at the expense of a woman's when the Astoria floundered in mid-Atlantic. You know that I was accused of having thrust her aside and taken her place in the boat. That accusation is true. I did save my life at a woman's expense. But the motives that